This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your weekend. It is Mother's Day. Make sure you take care of Mom on Sunday if you haven't already. Also, coming up, we're going to talk about our Braves, who are in Pittsburgh for a three-game series after winning the series against the Reds.
And I don't know if we're getting them at a good time or a bad time. They're feeling shame because their skipper just got got. They fired their manager who's been dealing with, an underachieving team, I guess the ownership feels. We'll talk to Grant McCauley about that. Drake Baldwin's super clutch moments, both with the glove and the bat last night in the extra inning win.
Yeah, it was good, man. That's on the way. Also, more conversation about what's going on with our Falcons because today the rookies were on the field, along with the undrafted free agents, by the way. So we had our drafted guys and then the undrafted guys. It's about 40 guys that were on the field altogether. But everybody is wondering, again, what Jalen and what James Pierce Jr. are looking like, Mike. And, you know, I thought Raheem Morris, who addressed the media today before they started, most of this stuff the rest of the way is going to be classroom and, you know, educational stuff because they're getting them ready for camp. This is all building up to veterans. Next time they get back on the field, will be there. Then it's OTAs. Then it's mandatory mini camp. Then it's training camp. And then, Mike, it's go time. So all of this stuff is going to seem like it's happening pretty quickly. And then next week, don't forget, the schedule comes out for all the NFL teams. And Mike and I will be talking plenty about that. And we can't wait to see what it looks like. Mm. But here's Raheem Morris. And I thought this was the most important thing because we've talked a lot about this, what he's about to say. When you draft these guys, you got to play them. There's no reason to wait. There's no reason to sit them. And Raheem Morris, and Mike, I don't know if this is because maybe it was different last year or maybe they just sit in the building, hey, we're going to play our rookies. But he was asked about this today, and I thought this was the most interesting thing he said because, again, I think we got at least three starters that we drafted this year, and there are guys that we don't even know about from last year's class that are coming off of injury. Here's Rod talking about playing the young guys more.
I think we got some guys in here. Like, we got, you know, make no mistake about it. We're going to have some real intentionality of playing our rookies this season and getting those guys in the grass and giving them an opportunity to play a significant amount of football for us, and we really look forward to that.
We're going to have some intentionality. I like it. Look, as you said it, you didn't move heaven and earth to get James Pierce Jr. to have him sit there and be situational. Third down. He's got to
play.
Like, and if he is, then something's wrong because both these guys got to step in. Jalen Walker, you saw what he was able to do against the elite teams. Guys got drafted ahead of him that he abused for Texas at offensive line. So he's ready to do it at this level. And again, it will be a battle because he's now going up against veteran tackles, big advantage in some cases with experience and size. But this guy's got a, you know, a motor we know is just not going to quit. But yeah, you've got to get these guys. Carl, the rookies have got to be integrated. If Pierce doesn't have, I don't know, do you have a number in your mind? Because I don't want to see this epic. No, don't disrespect Arnold Ebiketie. It's not a knock on him. Ebiketie was a second rounder. He isn't a guy that we moved our second and a first rounder to get. Pierce has got to have impact.
He's got to have impact. The word Ra uses there, and listen, being intentional means we have all intent purposes of playing guys that you may think, well, why are they playing him? Look, there's nothing wrong with going young. Mike, the idea is...
We did it in 16.
Correct. Play the guys who give you the best chance to win, but also if you go that route, it gives you a lot of flexibility financially because a lot of these guys are still on their rookie deals.
Right.
So part of it is we've turned the roster over and now we've gotten to a point where, hey, we don't have a lot of vets that we can look at and say, all right, he's penciled in, he's penciled in. I think there are going to be a lot of interesting battles at camp, which is something else we haven't had in a while. Not only for secondary, for linebacker, and then you talk about the edge and playing time and snaps. Like, all of a sudden now, you're creating this competition, and that's why Ra, I think, today, saying, hey, we are going to play rookies a lot more this year. I'm fine with that.
And look, it's a real tough break for a guy like Braylon Trice. I mentioned this earlier. You know, he's going to have a hard time, getting on the field with Jalen Walker out there. You know, and you think about the other guys in the linebacker corps. I don't know. A guy asked me the other day, what's Troy Anderson going to do? Hopefully contribute. I mean, he's a guy that, if the good news is, Carl, we've not got the depth. We went back, we looked at the 16 roster, and that's the last time we played in the Super Bowl. And you have all these guys, depth complemented by rookies, established veterans in the interior, complemented by Debo and Keanu Neal and Devondre Campbell. We're hoping we're going to have that same thing and see Ruka Roro really take. See, that's another thing. While we're talking about Pierce, they moved up. People don't forget that. We moved up in the second round, and at the time, the feeling was Ruka Roro was a early third, maybe late second. So he's also got to have an impact too, Carl, in this defense.
No, he does. He played more than any other rookie last year. I think it was 7 or 8 games. But
on IR for a while,
correct.
Too.
Once he got injured, that certainly slowed his progress down. I've said all along, I may have a little bit more confidence in that than Mike. We'll see how it plays out, but they really like what they saw last year with Rook, Aro. Here is Coach Ra also talking about Jalen Walker's makeup. And I brought this up earlier, guys. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And I'm looking out on the field. And again, this is shells, it's helmets. We're not going full bore yet. But I'm saying to myself, Mike, can they push each other? And if they can, this could be a tandem that people are going to have to deal with in the National Football League. Because if Jalen's able to push James and James is able to push Jalen and be like, look, I'm going to outdo you today. And I'm going to do more than you today. And I'm going to get more pressures than you today. And I'm going to get more sacks. If that healthy competition can grow, then this maybe turns into something special. But Raheem was asked about Jalen Walker's makeup. And here's what he said today before these guys hit the field.
Jalen Walker is a sharp man. He's got a dad that's been coaching him for however old he is. You can tell it's all over his body, it's all over his core. When his parents and his brother walks in the building, you can see the serious demeanor in the family. You can see this is a well-coached man before he even went to college. And when he got to college, he got some of the best coaches in the world from Kirby and those guys. And like, I talked to him about the leadership and some of the growth that they brought to that program with that class that they came out with. They should be very proud of and how they did it and how they went about their business. Because you have some very unique Falcon fit type people in that class.
He said he sees, I don't think it's a surprise, Jalen Walker, this is him projecting. He didn't say, I'm making this, but he was like, I could see him as a future captain of this team.
Right. Carl and I know you guys heard us tell you this, and you heard the interview. We had people giving that immediate impact. They heard the same thing. Guy's just a winner. Guy's got that it factor.
Yep.
He's got that, he's that dude. Now, again, sometimes that might mean he sounds like it. Maybe James Pierce will be the bigger star. We have no way of knowing. But it's hard to not expect Jalen Walker to be that dude that Ra's talking about.
I agree, Mike. I really do. 404-726-0929. Again, I'd love to tell you I saw this, that, and the other. Not a lot to report. They went through a lot of drills. And then, again, a lot of this stuff is going to be getting them prepped and ready as they continue to move forward and what the expectations are as they continue to move forward. A couple other NFL news and notes, Mike. This coming down, the Bucks have officially signed Shiloh Sanders.
Oh, okay.
To a 3-year, $2.9 million deal. And now he gets the chance to go prove it. So Shiloh was undrafted. Right, he goes to Tampa, and Mike, that's interesting. So the Bucks, they sign him to a 3-year deal. We'll see, what that ultimately turns out to be. But you're seeing a lot of guys around the league, guys. Again, you're slotted,
right.
You're negotiating bonuses and other things. But the money's the money. So the Saints, as Mike mentioned, signed a Calvin Banks kid out of the University of Texas. That's the kid that Jalen, when I asked him about going up against him, he laughed because Calvin Banks went before him in the draft at number 9. He signs with the Saints. It's a $27 million fully guaranteed contract, $16.8 million signing bonus. But that's a guy we're going to see in this division a lot.
Right. And hopefully we get to see Jalen abuse him like he did twice against Texas, against those Longhorns. We also saw it today, and this was to be expected with Shedeur Sanders getting on the field up in Cleveland. Some video today. I mean, all eyes on him, and immediately he looks very accurate. So it's like,
oh, really?
I had to laugh. Really? Local NBC affiliate of Cleveland, Shador Sanders, very accurate throwing the football. Okay. Well, yeah, nobody's trying to kill him, but I mean, it is practice. But yes, we can hit guys in the hands. But Andrew Berry, the GM, talking about it in an interview on The Fan in Cleveland on Friday, saying that he looks good. And again, what's the intention here? I said, he says, quote, "I know it leads to a lot of conversation and interest in the media and externally, understandably so. But for us, we always talk about tuning out the external." Good luck with that.
Yes, not happening.
Because now everyone's wondering, you know, why did you even waste time on Dylan Gabriel when everybody wants to see him just leapfrog him immediately in that pecking order?
They should have. Look, they're going to give him a shot. We'd be silly to not believe they are.
But what RG3 said, we played that audio yesterday.
It's legit.
You did add a layer now on a level that he's not, that other guys that were drafted don't have to deal with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, quick question, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So, was it Cleveland?
Yeah.
Cleveland?
Yeah.
Just posted a video of Shador in rookie camp. Could he potentially show enough in rookie camp that they feel the need to bump him up and give him more?
Yeah.
In terms of
reps? You
talking about in front of Flacco?
Well, no, in front of just, Dylan Gabriel.
Dylan Gabriel. Oh, yeah, absolutely. The Flacco thing's interesting because if you're Cleveland, you don't want to get off to a slow start, right? You're hoping he gives you the best chance to win. But if you're telling me that he outplays Dylan Gabriel in camp and, like, he becomes the second guy, that's very possible. And then it's just a matter of time, let's be honest, at that point, because we know Flacco may not even last the entire season, guys.
Hey, one last NFL nugget. Hey, Jerry Jones making some money moves. We talked about Pickens. Now, why don't you go for another bum wide receiver? Pickens is good. He's just not fully tapped into his potential. Apparently, Fox Sports reporting that Cowboys calling the Ravens about Rashad Bateman.
Oh, yeah, bum.
Talking about an underachiever.
Bum. You can say it. Bum.
Bum. Now, again, if Pickens reaches, you know, full blossom in Dallas, good for Jerry.
Hey, man, coming up, we're going to talk to Grant McCauley. Big win last night. Money Harris is heating up. But Ozzy. We got to talk about Ozzy. And yeah, we will next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Grant McCauley as we go around the yard. Nice series win against the Reds. It's the Pirates. It starts tonight. And, Grant, I was talking about Ozzy as we went to break there. And, look, somebody just hit me up. What's wrong with Ozzy? Nothing. Nothing is wrong. But it doesn't feel like he's doing the Ozzy things that we've become accustomed to. Last night, you know, you look at the numbers, you get 4 at-bats, 2 runs. He draws a huge walk. Mm-hmm. But what am I missing, Grant, when I'm watching Ozzy? And why are Mike and I looking at each other and going, what's missing? What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, what's missing is the power, right? The consistency, the run production, the things that really made Ozzy a standout second baseman. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that I and a whole lot of other people were getting upset that Major League Baseball would put out that list of top 10 second basemen and somehow Ozzy Albies would get left off. I mean, even Chipper Jones was up in arms about that. But, you know, this is not a social media campaign that's going to get the guy back on track. It's going to be good adjustments that he needs to make. And I feel like for Ozzy and things like that walk, I know it's small. I know it maybe is kind of isolated, insular thing. But that to me makes me feel like, all right, maybe he's seeing the zone a little bit differently, a little bit better. And that I feel like has kind of been part of it at least. And then the other real deal for him, and I know we talked about this, so I don't want to keep rehashing it over and over, but he's just not catching the ball where he wants to get not just the lift, but also being able to drive the ball, because he's not, as I've said before, a Statcast darling. He's not Matt Olson. He's not Austin Riley or Ronald Acuña Jr. for that matter, where you pull up that page and you're like, wow, this is one of the hardest hitters in the league in terms of just overall exit velocity and all the things you want to see. But he still finds success because of just the placement, really, I think. So everybody can be different. Everybody's got their own skills. But to make a long story short, I just feel like it hasn't all been put together yet, but it can be. I don't think this guy has lost, you know, his ability to be an impact player, but he's been injured a lot. He's missed a lot of time. Obviously, he's had to overcome some things, and it's the constant game of adjustment. So maybe he's finally starting to find things with relation to the strike zone and his approach that might lead to some results that everybody, including Ozzy Albies, is looking for.
And it wasn't like the ugliest thing. The ugliest thing last night was Arcia's bunt attempt. That was just god awful. But we'll just leave it there, Grant. But the things that did work well, I loved it. I mean, Olson has been struggling at times with the bat, but that was kind of like a Keith Hernandez type play when he charges home plate, picks up the bunt, gets the throw out at third. And then how about we'll talk about some other great stuff, what Drake Baldwin did, throwing the guy out at second, same inning.
Yeah, big stuff there from Drake Baldwin and Matt Olson, defensively speaking. I would also throw Scott Blewett in as a huge reason why the Braves didn't blow it and had the innings that they needed covered to give themselves a chance to win. That's two huge innings out of the bullpen, but the Olson play was key. The Baldwin play was also key. And with Matt Olson, I know a lot of folks the first year maybe were like, Gold Glover, I don't see it. You know, maybe he's not as good as the previous guy. And maybe we can stop having that discussion. I don't know, because that guy's gone, this guy's here, and this guy's pretty good, I guess is my point. And it's plays like that that remind you, because he does, I feel like, have very good instincts. And I think Matt Olson has one of the best throwing arms at first base to make those plays at second base, at third base, whatever the case is, coming home. I mean, he's a guy that can put it on you, and I feel like he has done that at times in places where if there was an out you could steal, as the old phrase went, really, when you talked about Andrelton Simmons, he's finding ways to do it, and that was a heady, instinctual baseball play. And as it happened, it was against a pretty good base runner as well.
I want to talk about Johnson. Pierce Johnson, 25 straight batters he retired in his last eight appearances. That's 8 1/3 innings out of the bullpen, 9 strikeouts. In his role, he's been fantastic, Grant. And I didn't think I'd be saying that at this point in the season. He's been really good at what they're and Snit is asking him to do right now.
Yeah, and he's needed to be. And I felt like coming into the year, maybe he was going to be the one that got the responsibility of stepping into the Joe Jimenez role of being kind of the primary setup guy, at least one of them. And he kind of hasn't been. But that doesn't mean that he hasn't had important outs to get and that he hasn't been great in doing so. So by my math, 25 consecutive batters set down means 2 more, and he's got himself a perfect game. That is spread out over, 8, 9 appearances, whatever it may end up being, but is nonetheless impressive because he's facing a different lineup every time. He's coming in leverage situations, and he's delivering. So you needed these guys to do this, whether it's Daisbell Hernandez, Pierce Johnson, Dylan Lee. I know everybody wants to see Iglesias get on track and stay on track. It was not a fun thing to watch last night as that game kind of seemed to get away from him there, but you've got some pieces, I feel like, that can make this bullpen capable of holding games where they are and giving the lineup a chance to rally and to win. And Pierce Johnson has definitely been in the middle of that lately.
It is our man Grant McCauley, guys, whose Braves beat the Reds last night 5-4, and now on to Pittsburgh. We'll talk about that series in a second. The only thing, you mentioned Iglesias, so yeah, there's an article in ESPN today saying that there's a lot of pitchers right now, relief pitchers and closers that are struggling. Mm. Nobody's really killing it. The one argument I got into with a couple of guys online last night, Grant, tell me if I'm getting off on the weeds on this one. It's the old John Smoltz argument. Let the guys trying to figure it out. Were you cool with letting Schwellenbach leave after the six with a pitch count at 93? I figured it was cool to let him at least try to pitch to the 6, 7, 8 hitters. Unfortunately, Montero, who'd been really good, just wasn't effective last night.
Yeah, I think the latter is probably the thing that you look at. And, you know, that's unfortunate that, you know, the first guy that you bring in is not as sharp or as good as your starting pitcher. But, you know, in baseball these days, I feel like one of the things that I, you know, kind of have to remind myself sometimes is that the more relief pitchers you use, the more you open yourself up to the possibility that one of these guys doesn't have it tonight. That's just the math. That's the numbers. That's the way the game is, but it's not going to change. The complete game is a dying breed. Guys that are able to do that, they're not allowed to anymore. So you just, I feel like, don't push starters as far. But from a confidence-building perspective, and I know that we're not in the moral victories game, we're in the winning games, you know, situation here for the Braves as a team, as a collective, I felt like at 93 pitches with what he had done over that 6 innings, considering how things had been trending lately, maybe just going ahead and pulling it there, because he's never thrown 100 pitches at any point in a start thus far. That's something else I think maybe to keep in mind is that, was he going to be able to get through 3 more hitters and 6 pitches? No. Let's go ahead, give that guy, next guy in, a clean inning and just kind of go from there. Unfortunately, it just didn't work out, but I was incredibly, incredibly impressed with what Spencer Schwellenbach was able to do. And some inside baseball, some from the diamond, coming your way on Sunday night here on 92.9 The Game. I've got my buddy Eno Saris, who gets really into all of the intricacies of how the strike zone is being called this year, which, spoiler alert, it's a little bit smaller than it's ever been. We're going to talk about that on the show. But Spencer Schwellenbach is one of the most squeezed pitchers in baseball. Squeezed starting pitchers, meaning that he is not getting calls inside the zone that a lot of other guys are getting as a result of this and the way that he pitches. So to kind of bring it to a head, I was really impressed with what Schwellenbach was able to do and encouraged by that. And I feel like it was part of what helped the Braves win the game, but also kind of a moral victory to feel like, all right, a nice clean outing. Let's just leave it at that.
All right. So the Pirates fire their manager, Derek Shelton, during their day off, by the way. How you get fired
on your day off?
So they are in the wake of a season high 7-game losing streak. They are 12-26. Braves fans, don't count these dubs. Sometimes these things give a team an emotional lift. Look, Grant, I think they're better than what their record says. They're not the Colorado Rockies, but they promoted their bench coach. His name's Don Kelly, the manager. Tell me what you're expecting this weekend with the Pirates.
Yeah, and with the Pirates, I mean, this is kind of a sad story that we've talked about over the years. It's a beautiful ballpark. It's a historic franchise, but it's an ownership group that, you know, if they want to say that firing Derek Shelton is the thing that's going to, I don't know, send a different message to the team, I would beg to differ. I feel like they've sent a pretty significantly, what would I call it, a message that is hard to miss with the fact that they're just not very committed to putting a lot into the big league club at times. And I'll just leave it at that. So I felt like Shelton was just a sacrificial lamb for, you know, failings that go far beyond the manager. He can only work with what he's got. And while he does have a couple of nice shiny toys, none probably shinier than Paul Skeens, you're going to have more than that to win baseball games at the big league level. And there's been some underperformance. So could they get a bump from this, I guess, is the question. Sure, they could. And you never should go into a series assuming, all right, we're going to sweep them, because we've seen what happens with the A's a couple of years ago, with the White Sox last year, with the Rockies already this year. It's not a guarantee that you're going to sweep a club, but you could certainly use it. And if they go out there and play the way that they have been lately, I feel like the Braves are clearly the club that could get that done. But yeah, you never count these things before they're in the win column, as the case may be. And I don't think the Braves have been a team that has done too much of that, expecting outcomes before they actually go do the work.
Yeah, it's what, 26 in payroll are the Pirates. We always joke around with you, Grant, that, you know, today's Pirates or tomorrow's Yankees. Hey, one story outside of the Braves, this Rafael Devers story up in Boston is pretty darn hysterical. For those who don't know, he's making $300 million. They bring in Bregman, who's obviously one of the best third basemen in the league, Alex Bregman, and then the first baseman gets hurt, and they said, hey, can you play first base? He's like, no, you go find one. Because it's like, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't the Phillies have a similar situation and they moved like one of their stars over to first base?
Yeah, some guy named Bryce Harper moved over to first base voluntarily. But let me say this, and I'm going to talk about this a lot on From the Diamond as well, not to turn this into a preview show for that. But
that's all right. Go ahead.
When I look at the Rafael Devers situation, I do think that there was an element of this, from what I'm gathering, that was lost in translation between what he's saying, the spirit of what he's saying, and the interpreter trying to take all of these thoughts and all the emotions and deliver them properly and not get lost. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'll start a sentence sometimes, and I don't even know where I'm going to end up. And I'm not Michael Scott. But be that as it may, it's a very fine line that these guys are walking sometimes. But I'll say this, not in just defense of Devers, because statistically speaking, the worst defensive third baseman in baseball over the past 5 years. That's irrefutable. Those are the numbers. That's why they signed Alex Bregman. They came to him and said, look, we don't want you in the field anymore. You're going to be a DH. And now, 5-6 weeks into the season, we want you to learn a new position at the big league level. And I feel like that you're not familiar with, that you haven't played. Have other guys done it? Yes. Could Devers have owned the situation and changed the narrative? Yes. But at this point, there's kind of an impasse, because I guess Alex Cora didn't want to have the conversation. He had Craig Breslow do it. So is there this good cop, bad cop thing going on? Okay. The whole thing is just, it's a big convoluted mess. I think we could still see Devers play first base, but the way they went about managing him all the way back to the spring kind of led them to this place they find themselves now.
All right, Grant. Great stuff, man. Again, what time are you on?
I'll be on Sunday from 5 to 7 right here on 92.9 The Game. It's From the Diamond, wherever you get your podcast, and on the Odyssey app.
I was just thinking, Grant, of like Moneyball, when they go to Scott Hattieburg's house. You know, he's the guy that plays Ron Washington, former Braves coach. Remember, they go, It's easy to play first base. It's incredibly difficult to play
first
base.
Tell
him why. Yeah, that's right. All right, man. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you Monday, brother.
Thanks, guys. Look forward to it. You enjoy the weekend as well.
All right, man. We're coming back. We got more to dive into. A couple of things you might have missed today, including who's lying. Stukes and Bell.
Oh.
Rookies on the field today for our Falcons. It's nice to see guys, undrafted free agents. I think camp's going to be intriguing. And the good news is, Mike said it, you guys will get a chance to be up there this year.
Yeah, they had some capital improvements. We got a weight room the size of an airplane hangar. You can plan a 737 in that bad boy. But now fans will be out there, and that just adds so much more juice to practice. Can't wait. And again, to see all these studs on defense, you know, when's the last time as a fan you're like, oh, I'm excited they're actually going to introduce the defense first. I mean, normally you just want to see the offense. But yeah, man, can't wait to see what these guys are all about. Everyone that we spoke with, all those rookie interviews are online, including our first-round picks, all the way to our seventh round pick at odyssey.com. You can find him, and Day-Day has all the stuff from yesterday up at Dukes and Bell, so check it out.
All right, so that's good, man. In just a couple of weeks, the vets will be out there too, and we'll get a chance to see what, you know, what all that looks like.
Kirk will be there too.
This is true. He will be. That's true. He will be. Who's lying? Report came out today from a credible source that Bill Belichick's girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, was banned from the UNC football facility.
Oh.
And then UNC came out later, midday, and with a statement saying,
No.
She's available.
Cover your ass.
But as we discussed today, one of Belichick's family sources, deeply worried?
Telling Pablo Torre, apparently you said Pablo's been sitting on this for weeks. You know him in the business.
Yeah.
But Pablo has it today in an expose saying that, yeah, they're worried about Belichick. I mean, it's like literally, it's like when the rich old guy takes up with the young some hot thing, like Anna Nicole Smith years ago, when the family was trying to make sure she didn't control the billionaire's money. Worried about Belichick, because as we said, and like I thought that, you know, the guy that nailed it probably the best was Peter King, which says here's the guy who's got the most control over every aspect of his life and this team, and looks like a guy who's just completely lost it, you know, with his Jordan Hudson.
Well, when we brought this up last, what was it, Day-Day? Thursday, when we did this, and half of y'all lost your minds, because the response on social media was, how dare you guys? Why would this even come out about UNC banning her from the facility? Mike, why would you want to ban her from the facility?
Well, again, she's exerting too much power. I mean, it's just, that's what, just, look, we all get it. Old guy gets some young stuff. He's excited. He's having fun.
Stuff?
And now through modern, what?
You can have whatever you like.
And now through modern chemistry, Carl, and advances like Blue Chew, I mean, you can still live your best. Isn't that right, Bill? I think Bill should leave his money on the table.
It's Bill Belichick. If you're having a problem with erectile dysfunction, I would try some Blue Chew. Works for me. Look what I'm doing.
So convincing.
So convincing. I make her curl her toes.
What?
That's what I do. I'm a 60-minute man now. Bill Belichick from Blue Chew.
Not a 30-second? Okay. All right, Missy.
What am I, Forrest Gump?
I just, you know what, though? Here's the deal. Somebody feels like somebody's lying, right? And I said, I stand by Pablo. He's a credible dude. He's worked for Sports Illustrated, ESPN. Right. He's not out here running with stuff. But I just feel like, yeah, North Carolina's like, crap! We got to put something out. Go ahead and put something out there.
CYA on that. Well, again, if the stories that are accurate and everyone's standing by it, that she apparently put the kibosh on having the Hard Knocks that they do for college football, you know, come down at Tar Heels and do a Chapel Hill, I should say, which is a feather in their cap. You're trying to get more traction for the program, get more juice. I mean, Belichick, obviously, the brand should sell itself, but right now you're saying, I don't know. Looks like a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs right now with Belichick.
A little bit. So those things have been denied as far as the statement of she's not welcome. But look, this is not over.
I mean,
by the way, when this came out today, a lot of people were like, is this a breakup? Because initially you go, who's banning her? Is Bill banning her or is North Carolina banning her?
I won't be ignored, Bill.
Bill's got all the power, Mike. He's the highest paid state employee in North Carolina now.
Right.
It's not like Bill can't say, I don't want to hear.
Yeah, I wonder who that source was in the family. Was it Steve the mullet head, the defensive coordinator?
Help me.
Steve? Because every time you see him with her, like that's like the CBS video, damn, looked like a hostage video. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, like when the guys were in the Hanoi Hilton and they're blinking like SOS and stuff. I mean, come on.
So when that happened this morning, everybody was like, is this him or her? Either way, I'm just telling you, this is just the start. And this is what we talked about. A distraction. This is a distraction. The season hasn't even started yet. North Carolina put out a statement. We got to get something, craft up something. This is why Mike and I said we avoided this mess.
Yeah, I think we dodged a bullet. Now, yes. Now, Raheem Morris did some stuff last year that made me want to pull my hair out in clock management and how, you know, you pull the plug to not pull the plug. I don't know many coaches ever been, you know, handed a crappy hand like he was with Kirk Cousins. And, you know, you're trying to go with the veteran because you believe in him and he can handle the one possession games, but he just couldn't. He just couldn't do it. The Charger game comes to mind. But you're right. Belichick, I don't know, would Belichick have drafted Cousins? How would he have played it? Belichick couldn't find a quarterback his last few years in New England. That's why he's not there anymore. You know, and that's what I said to Carl. How do you not know what you're getting when your best friend in all of football is Nick frickin' Saban and you just signed his quarterback?
Yeah. Look, Mike, for me, we discussed this last hour. It's Dukes and Bell. Guys, happy Friday, everybody, and happy Mother's Day as well.
To all you mothers.
The story for me, though, is the audacity of her showing up to the Dunkin' Donuts commercial shoot for the Super Bowl, dressed in a bikini because she feels like she's going to be in this commercial.
Right.
And the Dunkin' Donut folks, this is documented, guys, are like, okay, hold on. We'll rewrite you in. They didn't put her in the commercial. And that, to me...
Well, she was in the commercial. She didn't have a speaking part.
Mike,
she's in the background.
She forced her way into this. That was not a part of the original script.
Right.
So the whole point is, I'm just going to show up and force my way in. And then you feel obligated. Well, we got Bill here. We got, you know, okay, let's do something. But that audacity tells you everything you need to know. And I think that is disruptive, and that's what North Carolina is concerned about. And that's why originally when this report came out this morning, it's on point. But the fact is they're going to deny and say, oh, no, she's welcome. And we'll see. We'll see how this all shakes out. But it is fascinating.
She does some amazing eye acting, Carl, the way she looks at Bill in the commercial.
Yeah, right.
I just love just looking at it. By the way, those Dunkin' heads do make me chuckle.
Oh, they're funny. Funny when they include the people who are supposed to be in them.
Yeah, is the first one with Matt Damon's like, how do you like them apples? All right, I said it.
Wasn't it the year before? It was. Yeah, that was the year
before. This year, Matt Damon wasn't in the Dunkin' Donuts yet. Hey, by the way, real quick, I was going to save it for Clear Throat. By the way, I wanted to mention this earlier in the show. Maria Martin did an interview. Every time we mention NHL coming back to Atlanta, it's kind of a big thing. Another interview with Vernon Krause, leader of the big automotive group.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I told Carl, I'm not trying to get inside the guy's pocket, but generally, wealthy dudes that own, you know, want to own sports teams, you can just Google Vernon Krause net worth, and you have a hard time finding it. Or it's like a lot less than you think it would be to own a hockey team. You got to spend upwards of $900 million to $1 billion for the presumably amazing next huge expansion fee in the NHL. Look, I'm not doubting the gathering spot's going to be great, but there's an interview. You can find it online. Go to Maria Martin on NHL to Atlanta's retweeted it. But I just, I don't, does this guy have the juice? Are we going to have to put together a group of millionaires? I don't want that. I've seen that horror show before with Atlanta Spirit.
Look, I'll tell you what I know about this. He's got some great friends, but he also has a lot of money.
Okay.
And when I say that, it's not just the Atlanta dealerships. He's kind of got
all over the Southeast.
Correct. Yeah. So, you know, again, and I don't know what, you know, what that overall business model looks like for him. But from people that I've heard from in the car industry, he's got it.
Okay.
And I don't know if he's going to be alone in this, because what your point is can he write a check by himself today to say, hey, right, this is what we're going to do, or are there going to be friends involved? My thing is, he's got friends involved.
But that's a problem. That's a red flag for me. I mean, I think Atlanta fans want Daddy Warbucks. You want Arthur Blank, you know, get Arthur Blank to do it. I mean, and then like Tony Russell got more money than Arthur Blank, you know, I mean, if you want to look it up. But, you know, and for those not familiar, the Atlanta Spirit LLC was a bunch of just jock sniffers and some of the dudes. It's, you know, all the guys that were surrounded by surrounded Ted Turner, and
yeah,
all the idiot sons of the guys that surrounded Ted Turner. And they had all this litigious group that were suing each other. There was a guy from Boston. It was a damn disaster. And so we lost the hockey team, and now we may never get it back unless the NHL really has a rock steady, you know, group put together to do it. And I'm not debating the location. I think a lot of folks in the northern suburbs are going to love it. I think for the south side, you know, it's maybe a once-a-month event. But it is interesting. If you're looking for more details, there's an interview today with Maria from Channel 11.
All right, man. Night show's on the way. Chris has got that. We got to get out of the way on this Friday and clear our throat. Hey, thanks to BMAC, Brian McFadden, for stopping by. Go check out that interview. Great stuff with Michael Penix. He did earlier in the week. Our buddy Mike Griffith, Mike, from Dog Nation. You guys still arguing, by the way?
No, I just will not stand. This naked aggression towards Stetson Bennett will not stand on our program. You can slander many people. You cannot slander Stetson Bennett. I'll believe Carson Beck's a rock star when he proves it.
All right, man. Hey, Dom, great week. Thank you so much. Day-Day, excellent work. As we said, thanks to the folks at Twin Peaks. We'll be out there again end of the month, guys, up there at Kennesaw. So if you didn't get a chance to come see us today at Buckhead, we were supposed to be out there, had some technical difficulties. That's why we're not there. If you're there enjoying a beer, hey, man. All right, Mike, we got to get out of the way. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Great job from Drake Baldwin, man, behind the dish and at the plate last night, providing the highlights. Somebody got creative today and had a neck tattoo on Drake that said Skyline Chili sucks. As we take 3 out of 4 from Cincinnati, for those not familiar, Skyline Chili, based in Cincinnati, and they've got other locations around the country. I just said to Carl, I'll never understand it. My father and I went to Cincinnati for a Mets game when I was a kid. My dad looks at me, we've got to get some of that Skyline Chili. We're eating it. My dad's like, this is the worst piece of garbage I've ever had in my life. Day-Day, am I wrong about Skyline Chili?
I've actually never had it, believe it or not.
Ground beef, tomato sauce, a secret spice with cinnamon over some spaghetti noodles?
It's good, but it wasn't what I expected. And so it's overrated from that standpoint. To Mike's point, when you talk to people, you got to have it.
It's hot garbage.
You would think you're going to Italy and having like the finest Italian food you've ever tasted. It's not that.
Toasted ravioli from Cincinnati, yes. That stuff, no.
They got some good barbecue up there, but it ain't Texas or Georgia or South Carolina, Louisiana barbecue. Hey, man, best thing I saw today. Never thought I'd see it. A dog taken in the first round on the field practicing with the Falcons. And he is a guy that is going to have impact. To see Jalen Walker out there, I had to do a double take. I had to take my glasses off today. And I said, is that real or is that a mirage? For years, how long have we talked about, well, at some point they'll draft one. They did. And let me tell you, I think he's going to be as advertised. Hey, if you love the show.
You tell your friends.
If you don't.
Oh, you go for seconds of that Skyline Chili.